Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good and happy Sunday morning to all of our listening friends in North Mississippi and West Alabama. Welcome again to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We thank you for tuning in at 8 a.m. every Sunday morning here on WLZA. We welcome you, and we would appreciate feedback from you. If you desire to contact us, go to our website, gospel-of-grace.com. We would love to hear from you. We would also love for you to search the site, listen to some of the recorded messages on there. There are plenty of links and articles. We ask you to go and explore that resource. We'd also love for you to come visit our respective churches. I'm Elder Joe Nettles. I pastor Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi. We meet 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we're located at 40283 Wolf Road. On behalf of my friend and yoke partner, Elder David Wise, we'll also invite you to Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road in Ackerman, Mississippi. They also meet 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. If you have opportunity, we want you to come and worship with us on Wednesday evenings, 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville. We have a message for you this morning regarding your faith being a blessing to someone else. And we hope that you'll stay tuned with us. And after this sweet hymn, we should be right back.
Loving me.
Giving me gifts and more.
Hey, welcome back, and thank you for staying tuned. Now, I ask you, is there any better way to start your week than hearing hymns just like that? I don't think so. And I'm certainly glad that you're here with us. And now we're going to go to the Lord's Word. What a blessing it is to live in a nation where we can freely worship the Lord according to the dictates of our conscience in the Spirit. What a great blessing we have. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, in other words, the house was so jam-packed with people who just wanted to be near the Lord Christ that there's no way they could enter into the door. It was just too great of a press. Carrying on reading here in verse 19, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. So you hear these men had such a heart's desire for healing for this loved one that when they could not easily get into the house because of the press, they had the perseverance to clamber up on top of the house to tear the very roof apart and to let their loved one down before the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What great faith and zeal and fervor and love that these men exhibited for this one that could not do it for himself. Verse 20, and when he, Jesus Christ, saw their faith. Now notice here, Jesus here is gazing upon the men who are letting the couch down from the roof hole into his presence. Here Jesus is looking at these men who have done this thing, and he saw their faith. Notice that pronoun, their faith. The faith of these able-bodied men that wanted to do this good thing for their loved one. Then he said unto him. Notice before he said their, that's plural, their faith. But now he is pointing and looking at one character, and that is the one who is on the couch, the one who is sick of the palsy. And he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Wow, what a powerful passage of scripture that is. And what an encouragement it should be to us to do better in this life and to serve the Lord in a more faithful and diligent manner. Why? Why would I say that? Because you see what happened here. Here, this man got a proclamation from the Lord Savior himself that hell would not be his home, that his sins are forgiven, and that heaven will be his abode, that the blood of the Anointed One, he that was here in the house, that this man was let down to be healed by him, Jesus Christ, is essentially saying, you are my child. Your sins are forgiven you. What a blessed proclamation this man got this day. Now, do I believe that this man up until this very moment in time was doomed for hell? And it was at this point that the Lord Jesus Christ adjudicated his case and said, well, now at this point in time and all of eternity, your sins are forgiven you. No, I don't believe that at all. Because my friends, if his sins are forgiven him, he'll be in heaven. Well, if he's in heaven, he's there because the Lord loves him. And if the Lord loves him, he loves him with an everlasting love. Because God is love and God does not change. Therefore, God's love does not change. Therefore, he foreknew this man before the foundation of the world and predestinated him unto the adoption of children. So you see, Jesus Christ has always known this man sick of the palsy as his child. He knew him even before he was born. He knew him even before the world began. He came in a covenant of love to save this man in particular, among the elect, all of the elect, and this man is among them. So here, Jesus has always known this man. He has always, as it were, been graven in his hand. This man has always been the apple of his eye. And Jesus Christ was going to go to the cross and shed blood for him and be resurrected to be declared just before all men and the justifier of men. He would be resurrected up on high. He would be ascended up to be with his Father. And then at that last day when he returns unto earth, this man will be among the sheep on the right-hand side. And the Lord will declare unto him, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So you see, it wasn't at that moment in time when his sins were adjudicated. No, this was a proclamation of the Lord, of the authoritative source. Now, what a blessing that is. What a great blessing that is. And incidentally, the Bible teaches us that if we have faith in Lord Jesus Christ, it is just as reliable a proclamation to us in our hearts and minds and souls that heaven will be our home as it was coming out of the very mouth and across the precious lips of the Lord's Savior this day to this man on the litter. Now, what a great blessing this man got. And he got this blessing not because of anything he did. He got this great assurance, this deliverance, this proclamation, yes, this salvation this day because of the faithfulness of others. So that's what I want to look at today very briefly. I want to look at several examples in the scripture where your faith or the faith of God's children being exercised not only does them good, but also touches those around them in multitude of ways. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, we read about an occasion when the Lord delivered Lot. Now, Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and we know that Lot was kind of a self-centered fellow. He's just like many of God's children, unfortunately. He didn't do enough living for others or consideration of others. He considered himself more than he should have. We all have that battle to fight. But in Genesis chapter 19, we're going to find here that the Lord is about to destroy the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their wickedness. And I want you to look on verse 28, Genesis 19, 28 and 29. "And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." So here we know that not only Lot was saved, but Lot's wife was saved and his daughters were saved. Now, his wife foolishly looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She lost her life. But notice here, Lot was saved not because of who Lot was. Lot was saved not because of anything Lot did. No, my friends, I'm going to tell you, if you read the occasion of Lot, you wouldn't look at that fellow and say, "Boy, that man is just brimming over with the Lord." He was very cold and worldly and carnal in a lot of his ways. But we know by scriptural authority, specifically 2 Peter chapter 2, that he was a just man. That means he was just, he was righteous before God. We're told that he was a righteous man and that he had has a righteous soul. So my friends, Lot is in heaven right now. But this day, I want you to understand, he was not saved because he was living a bold life to honor Jehovah. He was saved this day on account of Abraham and God's love and affinity and affection for Abraham and Abraham's faithfulness toward God. Go with me to Genesis chapter 30. In Genesis chapter 30, we read about how Jacob is in the house of Laban, his uncle. And Laban, not exactly the most spiritually minded person, as we read in the scriptures. But I want you to know Laban had some sense. In Genesis chapter 30, we read verse 25, "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country." Now, skipping down to verse 27, "Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what Laban's eternal end is. I don't know where his soul and spirit abides right now. I don't know all of those things. But I can tell you what, he had enough sense to realize that he was being blessed by the Lord. He's being blessed far above and beyond any measure of faithfulness that he had returned unto the Lord. He knew that he'd been blessed because of the faithfulness of Jacob. Now, I will tell you what, I wish people in this world had that much sense. Now, what do I mean? I mean, we have politicians, we have college professors, we have people that are supposedly so full of knowledge, with scintillating acumen. They're so learned, and they're so professional, and they're so sharp, and they're so beautiful. And they think America is getting better all the time because of her gobbling up progressivism, because of her throwing away the societal mores that have guided us in the past, that are despising of simple little people who refuse to cover their body with tattoos. Just one example. I don't want to dig on tattoo-wearing people too much. People who don't care to be popular. People who don't care about going with the flow. People who want to stand strong. Oh, they just can't stand people like that because they believe that's the problem with this country. They're too blind to see that it's people like that is the reason this nation has been blessed and has stood for so long. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, until we repent and we start appreciating holiness and righteousness in this land, we're going to continue to see a decline. And I'll tell you, if it pleases the Lord that the Red Army should walk down the streets of Mississippi this day, I'm going to tell you, it's still better than what we deserve. We deserve no better than the hellfire and brimstone that rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Here, Laban had sense enough to know that he had been blessed because of one more righteous than he. Now, I want you to understand, go with me to Job. We see another example. In Job, you know, Job had said very many foolish things. Job had made some accusations against God that I hope that I never make against the Lord. But he had three miserable comforters, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz. And here these men had also been laying very many calumnies, false accusations against the Lord and against Job. So here we see in Job chapter 42, the Lord chooses to bless Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar only on account of one man and one person's faithfulness. We go to verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that which ye have not spoken of me, the thing which is right, like my servant Job. And we see after Job did these things and prayed unto the Lord for his friends, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You see, the only hope that Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz had was the intercession, the prayer, and the faithfulness, as shaky as it was, but yet it was still present. He had repented. He had said, you know, I will put my hand over my mouth. Job realized that he had spoken out of turn, that he had made accusations against God that were not right and not fitting. And just on that amount of repentance and turning, here so quickly, God was using his faithfulness to affect the good of others. You know, over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we see on the occasion of the blessing of the temple of Solomon. Oh, my friends, I'm going to tell you, Solomon had allowed himself to be consumed up with worldly attitudes, taking to himself many heathen brides and even setting up their altars and their false gods for worship. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So what's he telling them here? He said, not only these people, people that are called by my name, mind you, that's this text is focused on those that are called by his name, the name of Jehovah. He said, those that are called by my name, if they do these things, if they'll humble themselves, if they will pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'm going to tell you what, the Lord promised them, he said, the whole land will be healed. I want you to notice, we touched briefly on Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Abraham asked God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Let it be not so. He said, will you spare the city for 50 righteous men? Just 50 men who are living righteous lives. God said, I'll spare it for 50. And then it was 45. Then it was 40. And then 30. And then 20. And all the way down to 10. If there had been 10 men in the city of Sodom that were seeking to live a righteous life. Notice, Lot was reckoned as a righteous man among them, and Lot was not living an exemplary, holy life. You see, my friends, if there had been 10 men in that city that had been seeking the Lord even to the level or the extent of Lot, that city would have been saved. And I ask you today, my friends, are you one of the 10? Are you one of the influences in your church, in your community, in your home, and in your state, in your nation? That you are one of the ones who are seeking the face of God, that you are willing to turn from your wicked ways. You, yourself, you're willing to fall down upon your knees and pray unto the God of glory to have mercy, not only upon yourself for your sins, but for your nation. You see, are you one of the 10? Are you one of those? Or are you one of these Israelites, people that are called by the name of the Lord? You see, my friends, we need to stop thinking that we got to get Oprah straight. We need to stop thinking that we got to get Ellen DeGeneres straight. We've got to stop thinking that we've got to get the president straight and the Congress straight. We've got to stop thinking we got to get the Supreme Court straightened out. My friends, let me tell you something. Our problem is we don't need to straighten out the NFL. Our problem is that people that call upon the name of the Lord, people upon whom the Lord has placed his name, they need to do what they ought to do. I ought to do what I ought to do. And it will be a blessing to me, and it will be a blessing to my family. And who knows, the salvations and the comforts and the strengths that the Lord would pour upon the United States of America or Monroe County, Mississippi, or whatever the case may be, because of one or two little humble saints who are falling upon their knees faithfully and praying to the Lord of glory, the same Lord that placed the stars in the heavens, that is able to divide the Red Sea, that is able to hold the sun in the sky, who is able to vanquish the foe, who is able to send hornets out to drive out the enemies, who is able to give a plan where you march around a city 7 times, blow horns, and the walls fall outward. I'm telling you, that same God of glory, he's the same God of the olden times. He's the same God today. Are we his people? Lord, if we are, let us fall upon our knees. Let us seek his face. Let us live by faith. Repent and draw nigh unto him. Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's the only hope we individually have and that this nation has. There are very many other things, many other examples to be given. We might be able to touch on those next time we speak for you. But I implore you, I beg you, today as you sit under the sound of my voice, do you count yourself as one of the Lord's people? I mean, do you just, like John Newton wrote, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? Is the idea of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, is it beautiful to you? Is it precious to you? Then I implore you, oh listening friend, I implore you, let us go to the house of God. Let us teach our children the word. Let us study it. Let us hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Turn the television off. cast aside the notepad or the computer that's polluting our minds and eyes continually. Turn some things off, throw some things away, and focus and meditate on the Lord of glory. Thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him for what He will do. And just praise Him. He is so worth it. And I guarantee you, you will see drastic, drastic changes in your life. And we can see drastic changes in the United States of America. Let our faith be the answer for people who aren't even able to recognize the problem. Lord, help us to do so. Until we're able to speak with you again on this radio broadcast, we love you and pray the Lord's blessings upon you.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.